Here's Higdon, it sits up nicely for Michael Higdon! And what a start for Motherwell! But here's Malt, and he goes for it for Sutton! Magnificent Malt! Stephen Robinson celebrates! Motherwell, 2-1! Could that be the goal that puts him into the Betfred Cup final?
He's got Irwin. The supporting links from Ainsworth on the angle. Lionel Ainsworth fires home.
It's Lasley deep into stoppage time. Up goes Sutton. No foul given. Kerr and Reid is there to knock it in. The goal is given. Hesitation for Craig Reid, who scores his first ever goal in senior football. And what a moment for Motherwell.
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. It's been 2 weeks since we last recorded, and it's been a tale of a very good victory and a pretty disappointing defeat for Motherwell. I'll look back on both of those games. We'll look ahead to the international break, the next fixture in the Scottish Premiership against St Johnston, and I'll do so in the company of Scott McClure and Andy Patterson. Guys, welcome along.
How are you doing?
So Andy, as I said, we'll look at the Celtic game first. We'll start with the negatives and then we'll move on to more positive matters. I think when we looked at these fixtures coming up, an away trip at Livingston, a very difficult place to go, a place that we hadn't won in the league since they were promoted a couple of seasons back, to go there and get a good victory and build on a good performance against Ross County the week prior to that, that was a real success story. You've then got a wee bit of a free hit against a Celtic side that, despite the fact they were struggling, possess a lot of quality, and I think when we're looking back in the game, it's easy to be frustrated that Celtic were struggling for form. They were really on their knees after that European defeat on the Thursday night, but as we've seen time and time again, Celtic can find that extra gear. They haven't won the treble in the last three seasons for no reason whatsoever, and over the course their quality.
I think there's always the danger whenever you have a half decent team whenever they have that negative result or series of negative results, that, you know, sooner or later it's going to turn, and you just hope it's not going to be yourselves that they turn up against. I've seen us lose in many different ways over the last 6-7 years against them. To be honest, I wasn't hugely upset on Sunday. I read a few things after the game. People bemoaning, why didn't we sit in? Why didn't we make it difficult for them? You know, try and frustrate them. And I've seen that so many times where you do that, you contribute next to nothing to the game. You end up losing anyway by 2 or 3 goals. And at the end of it, we're just left thinking there, well, why didn't we have a goal? We're going to get beat anyway. Just give it a stab. And I felt with the kind of formation and the selection that he put out, that was the hope. And ideally, we might have been able to capitalise on any kind of hesitancy in their part, but we basically chucked it away. It's as early as the 7th minute with the crazy back pass. And that's going to really put yourselves up against it. And so it proved. And they got the second goal. We kind of huffed and puffed a wee bit, but as I say, I wasn't that upset. I kind of compare it how we just died in our feet a wee bit against Rangers, and then went on to granted there was only another goal of difference, but the kind of, it was night and day almost in terms of the performance between Celtic then and, you know, Rangers a few weeks ago. I felt we gave it a really good stab at kind of trying to get back into it. They didn't chuck it in any way. You know, they kind of lost the last 5-10 minutes or so. Once they get the third, then that was the game going. But, you know, credit to the team. They kind of came out really positive attitude for the second half. Felt we got a goal that we deserved over the piece. And for 5 minutes, with a wee bit of hope. But again, unfortunately, we allowed them the opportunity to kind of kill it just at the point where we were, you know, beginning to look as if we could build a wee head of steam for the last 15 minutes or so of the game. So, but some half-decent performances, a lot that you can build on there. A few negatives as well, obviously. But so many bad results, as I say, over the piece. And having seen so many different ways of losing against them, it's you get to the point where you don't lose any sleep over that one. I lost against a Kilmarnock or a St Johnson when we next play them, or a Hibs or something like that. It's going to be a lot more annoying than a kind of regulation defeat to one of the Old Firm, for me anyway.
Scott, that being said, we are quite frustrating at times, aren't we? Because I think in spells in that game, we really demonstrated that we've got the ability to mix it up and be a threat. We passed up a few decent chances, but I think the disappointing element for me was the fact that a lot of the goals were avoidable. We kind of shot ourselves in the foot when it mattered most. And maybe that separated the bigger teams and the more successful teams from the likes of ourselves. They tend to capitalise on these. When we had Celtic on the ropes, I don't think we really made the most of the opportunities that came our way.
I agree. I think if you use an example, early in the season in our Europa League, when we played Glentoran, I just think that we didn't start well, and there were spells of the game where they actually came into the game and you thought, oh, this team could sneak a wee goal here, and we just stepped it up. And I would say that Celtic had just did that wee bit of extra quality to do the same to us, but probably made it a wee bit more disappointing was the build-up to the game. I think that I don't like playing a team like Celtic when they've just been hammered 4-1 with a team that they should have beaten. They're saying if Lennon would have got sacked if we had won, and they had all the publicity with Elanussi. It was almost like tempting fate almost to say, everybody was saying, oh, I think he's giving me a good shout and Lennon will get sacked after it, and you just have that wee horrible feeling at the back that they'll go and get hammered. But in saying that, there was some positives to take for the game, not that many, but it was frustrating that, I mean, I'll be honest, when that goal went in, I thought, right, that's us, we're ready to kick on here. And I actually said to Ben, when I was watching it, I said I would happily take a draw here. And before I could even think about where the next chance was coming from, it's 3-1, and that was the kind of the most demotivating thing about the whole 90 minutes. But as Andy said, if you look at the fixtures at the start of the season, it is one that you kind of write off, but it doesn't make it any easier when you did see that there was kind of, we had opportunities there. Andy also mentioned that about some of the comments. I've just been interested to see what you guys, because we haven't actually spoke about, but I've seen quite a bit of criticism aimed at the keeper, Alan Chapman. Now, for me, I don't think he's actually been tested. I can't remember him pulling off an amazing save, but he seems to command the kind of cross ball pretty well. But I'd be interested to see what you guys think about his overall performance. I read somewhere that somebody said he's too big and too slow to get down, but I don't know exactly. Maybe his positioning for the third goal wasn't great, but I don't really think that there was much he could do about anything. I would just be interested to see what the opinion was in his performances over the last couple of games. And do you think that Jordan Archer is potentially going to get a shot? Because he seems quite a big name just to come and be a number two to a guy, let's face it, that has been in the lower leagues in England. So it'd just be interesting to see what you think of that.
For me personally, I think that Chapman was somewhat of a scapegoat on Sunday, to be honest. I don't think he was responsible for any of the goals conceded. Yes, I think that he could have maybe been a wee bit quicker down in one or two occasions, but I think it would have taken a very, very good stop to keep any of the ones out. You look at the first one, it's come off the post initially. The second one's put away nicely, and it's great build-up play from Rogic. You can't miss. The third one, again, it's a great delivery. And the header's from close range. I don't think you're saving that. And then Charms on at the end. Again, I think it's a good finish. I do think from a defensive point of view, some of the goals were soft goals to concede, and I've already talked about that, but I think sometimes we're a bit too much to blame an individual, and maybe that's just the nature of the beast when it comes to being football fans, that you've got to have someone to blame. And Sunday, I felt at times we were a bit standoffish. I thought we maybe gave them too much respect, and I noticed again that this is another thing that came up in social media, the fact that Ryan Christie before the game said it's always difficult to come here, but we like coming here because it's a nice pitch. We can get the ball down. We can play football. It runs true. They can play kind of fast attacking football. And I almost got the feeling that perhaps for Pat's more of a to come now than it used to be. When Stan Petrov was talking before the game, and he said, I used to hate coming here. Such a difficult place to come. The fans are right on your back. And the pitch was always an absolute joke. And I wonder whether we've actually made it a bit too nice at times. Of course, we can't go back to just pouring tons and tons of sand on the pitch and cutting it up like nobody's business. But I think that really the way that we, not the way that we set out, but more the respect that we gave Celtic is possibly more of a downfall than anyone. Even the goalkeeper got more criticism than Liam Paulworth did for what is a quite ludicrous attempt at a pass back in the early stages of a match from a player that's been set at that level. Somewhat moronic, to be honest. So, yeah, I think that there was unfortunately for Chapman, he has been the one. And in terms of Archer, I don't know a great deal about him. Yes, he's got that wee bit of pedigree because he's been involved in the Scotland setup, but and taking nothing away from him because I have not seen him play. I don't think I've seen him play a game ever. You think of some of the third and fourth choice goalkeepers that have been involved in the Scotland setup almost by default in recent years. So I don't know how much you can read into to being involved in the Scotland setup as a goalkeeper when he's realistically never stood a chance of playing. Maybe just there's more than anything else to make up the numbers. But again, that could be horrendously disrespectful. It's not really intended to be. So I just think that it would be a bit of a snap judgment after two appearances and two clean sheets to drop Chapman on the basis that he conceded four goals in a game against Celtic, because many goalkeepers much better than Aaron Chapman have conceded.
I think your point about Liam Paulworth is, I was really, really disappointed, really frustrated with him. I think he is an important player, particularly since Turnbull left. But, I mean, the way I'd describe him, he's either all sugar or he's all shite. That's the way I feel about him sometimes. It's like it just doesn't look as if he can be bothered. See, when you need to dig in and go for it, it's as if he just wants to shirk away. But even every single time that you hear the commentators, they go on about the amount of assists. Now that is a stat. He obviously is. He hits every single dead ball when he's on the pit, every corner and stuff like that. So he is going to get, but I mean, it is an incredible stat, but he just frustrates the life out of me at times, and no more so than the start. And I was quite surprised to see the criticism aimed at the keeper, considering the performance. Now, it was the Paulworth's individual fault, individual error for the goal, but I mean, I totally agree with you picking him off as one of the poorer performers on Sunday.
Anything to add in there, Andy?
In terms of the goalkeeper, I think possibly even Paulworth to a certain extent as well. You get people who make snap judgments, and regardless of what they're actually going to do, if they've made that judgment, then you're going to have any justification that can be seized upon to back up that initial assertion. And pretty much I've seen that in terms of the comments about Chapman. The minute that Archer was signed, I've seen people say, I read people saying that, oh, that'll be him number one. And that's it. So any kind of hint of a mistake is being seized upon there to back up that view that, well, he's second choice anyway, and whatever, this is only going to serve to prove my point, when there's not really that much evidence there as yet to to give any justification for calls for him to be replaced. May well be Archer's the better keeper. I'm very much like yourselves. I don't know much either of the two of them before they came to Fir Park. So kind of, you know, the kind of judgment still would be made for me on both of them. And Polworth, in terms of his display and Sunday there, it wasn't his best, I wouldn't say. But, you know, again, you still get, you know, the kind of the deliveries are there, the amount of potential opportunities that there are for finding the net from his deliveries or passes. And it's one of the kind of things, you're not going to be on top of your game all the time, but I think over the piece he certainly brings us more than we would have were he not a part of the side.
One final one on the Celtic game, a talking point clearly was Devante Cole's challenge on Frimpong during the second half. Only merited a booking in the referee's eyes. Andrew Dallas, I thought, had a pretty poor game, it must be said. The first half, I thought, he let Celtic away with quite a lot. Laxalt, in particular, had maybe three or four challenges without picking up a yellow card. That, again, being said, Devante Cole's challenge, Scott, on Frimpong, certainly not a clever one, very much could have been a red card. Celtic fans have reacted with a great amount of furor regarding this challenge, which you kind of expect from them, to be honest. But I think we're all in the challenge. It's not really getting any place in the game.
Yeah, but I don't think there's any doubt in that. It's easy to turn around and say, oh, it's just your usual striker's challenge. And for me, that is what it was. It was clumsy, but it is what it is. The referee, the angle that he's seen, it's a yellow card. Frimpong's no badly injured, thankfully. And that was it. It was a bad challenge, but I wasn't getting too hung up on it, to be honest with you. I think the reaction and the amount of clips that I've seen of it and stuff like that, they're making out that there was some sort of intent on Cole's part. I think part of it was just done. He was bearing in mind that he had just passed a fitness test. He was getting tired. I suppose it sounds as if I'm making excuses. It was a bad challenge, but these things happen in football, don't they? And we just need to, as part of the game.
We'll move on and talk about the Livingston game. A much more positive 90 minutes to reflect on. Andy, starting with yourself, it was all decided in the first half. A very posed showing, I'd say. It was almost a perfect away display, a difficult place to go, but at no point did we look under any threat. We got ourselves in front, and from there, scoring bang on, perfect way to go into the break. In the second half, I think we played it out. There weren't many chances for either side in the second half, but again, I think that's testimony to the way that Stephen Robinson set the team up. We never ever looked under pressure. We didn't at any point look like we were going to let Livingston get one to set up a nervy last 10-15 minutes or anything like that. A really composed, excellent performance. I would say one of our complete performances of the season, building on a brilliant win against Ross County the week before. Yeah, it was everything that we really could have.
Yep. I have to kind of disagree with anything you say there. I certainly felt it was like one of our, if not the most accomplished performance that we've turned in at Almondville since they put the surface down. It was everything that we've not seen in the last two or three visits there. Keep in mind the kind of conditions and stuff that were the weather as well. It wasn't the best kind of conditions to play it in. But we managed that. We managed them very, very well. As you say, with good composure in terms of the finishes for both of the goals. And we never looked in any bother whatsoever. It was a feature of the kind of performance. So many times there were kind of forward players and kind of midfielders just simply didn't give them any opportunity to get balls into the box to do anything. You know, Langer, I can remember a couple of occasions, he was like way back, you know, almost in line his own box, kind of putting blocks in. They were players being forced to try to put in crosses that were going, you know, high, wide and handsome. And it was just a feature that they never got the opportunity to threaten us due to the hard work and the kind of organisation of the team, that was the way they were set up. And we continued to get a look dangerous when we went forward all the while as well. So, you know, you can't find much fault at all with that display there. That was certainly well received, that result, and kind of long overdue it felt it against Livingston.
And Scott, another positive of that performance was the front three of Lang, Cole and Watt, who continue to impress. I've been really impressed by Devante Cole since he returned to the club, actually. His ability to hold the ball up and bring others into play has been evident in all three appearances since he did make his return. Lang, obviously, getting his goal. Tony Watt, I was really enjoying a period of great confidence. He's playing with a smile on his face and it's producing great results for us as well. That's quite an exciting dynamic we've got. Normally we would go with the two wide players and aim for a target man. But having three strikers and three strikers that bring different qualities has proven a handful for us.
No, I think our whole makeup of our attacking players is good. Although one thing that I will say about the Livingston game is I felt that I maybe been harsh on Jordan White. I think Tony Watt was far more effective through the middle, and it might have been a chance for Jake Casey to come on and run down the left hand side of where Devante Cole left the void. But the other thing that I think is really positive is that I really like the look of Callum Lang. I like his determination. The only thing that kind of gives me a wee bit of the fear is that I always feel as if he's one challenge away for a red card. Obviously, we've spoke about Devante Cole, but I feel as if he's quite I like that in a player. I quite like his kind of a ferociousness and stuff. But what I like is that you're taking away the Celtic game, but if there's a tight game and Lang's maybe faded out or Cole's faded out, you have got the options on the bench. You've got the option to change it with Jordan White coming on. I just didn't think it worked against Livy. But we've actually forgot all about Jake Casey. We've not mentioned that Seedorf, who had quite a good start to the season, hasn't he been anywhere? So we've got all these kind of offensive players that, in my opinion, it's great having all these different options. And Tony Watt, to me, is vital to that. But what I think is really looking is the performances of Devante Cole. I think as you hit the nail on the head, his hold up play, his flick ons, his pace. I just think it's a perfect foil for Tony Watt. I think it'll just flourish. But giving the praise to the forward line, but what I would say at the moment for me, the most vital player in that team, I'm not saying he's the best player, but it's great having a player like Mark O'Hara. He's went into his centre half now. He's not set the world, he's not been man of the match, but he's been for me a 7 out of 10. He's not the most exciting player, but you could easily on Saturday on Sunday it was a difficult shift for him, but I think he's just, when he's in midfield, he can play the defensive, he can play the kind of the more attacking side. We've got him. He's such a versatile player, and I think that he's kind of your unsung hero that maybe doesn't get as much attention just because he gets in there and does his job. And what a signing he's been.
Yeah, he's certainly been excellent, and I think he had a wee bit of criticism come his way at the start of the season. Again, maybe that is the kind of scapegoat approach again, that players have to be singled out for individual criticism. Albeit his performances were poor at the start of the season, he's not really been given any other opportunity from there, but you can bet your bottom dollar that should he get these opportunities, I think he would again come in for a fairly difficult time. And that's just preconceptions from the way he left the football club in the first instance, and the fact I think he had to really hit the ground running, or he just wouldn't be accepted the second time around. And that's really been the case. But I think O'Hara's, he's got his head down. It wasn't any surprise to see him as one of the four players that was put forward for Player of the Month for the month of October. Because he was excellent. He was excellent throughout. He's shown his versatility in going into centre-half. And we have coped reasonably well. It's easy to overlook the fact that we are in certain positions down to our bare bones. And I guess we've coped pretty admirably, been left over there. So, yeah, I think that's a very valid point. And someone that has assisted us massively in these clean sheets against County and Livingston. Yes, as you mentioned, a difficult afternoon for him on Sunday, but I don't think there was many players in claret and amber that didn't have a difficult afternoon against Celtic. And I think it's easy after the game, and maybe it's with the benefit of hindsight in a couple of days between the games, because, or between the game and recording the podcast, because I think sort of an hour after the game on Sunday, you're maybe thinking there are certain things we should have done much better, disappointing given Celtic's running form and so on and so forth. But really, in reality, it was always going to be a massive challenge. Yes, to lose 4-1 in any occasion is disappointing, but we've competed well over the majority of the game. Individual errors have been costly, but it's not things that should be too difficult to eradicate and move on. We've got a fortnight to dwell on the result, which sometimes can be a bad thing, but you've got the likes of Declan Gallagher and Stephen O'Donnell going away with the national side. A massive week for them. If you get a positive result, you can only imagine the spirits these guys are going to come back into the club fold with. While Sunday was disappointing, I think that it's still such an opportunity for us to kick on. The last couple of weeks have been very good, and I think a lot of people have been quietly noticing how good our form has been. We had a difficult start to the season, but now we're going into games against teams that are around us in the table. A busy December, you'll have the Betfred coming at the end of the month as well. You then go into the new year and you've got Accies and the Scottish Cups resuming. I think we've, to be honest, Andy, I think we've hit form at a very positive time, and at a time where that can greatly impact on our league placing. We should be looking up the way and not letting that Celtic game kind of make us look over our shoulder, because I don't really feel that this is a team under any sort of threat of a battle at the bottom. I think there will be a real push to find ourselves in the top three or top four. But I think back-to-back top six finishes is very much on the cards, and it would be a massive achievement as well.
I don't think you want to look too far ahead, in all honesty. In the kind of short spell we've had the season so far, you know, there's been ups and downs, kind of runs of iffy form and then better form, and you don't quite know how that's going to pan out. Kind of, I think December hasn't been the best of times for us. And two or three seasons under Robinson, where the kind of the number of games that we have has kind of caught up with us to a certain extent. And you've already alluded to the fact that we're kind of light in numbers in some positions. So I think it's a case of let's just take a game at a time, or a couple of games at a time even, and focus on them and see where we go. I certainly agree that they won't lose any sleep over losing to Celtic. And as I kind of made the point earlier, it's let it be much more damaging to us if we lose to a direct rival. If we lose, say, to St Johnstone in the next game and they get 3 points of March on you, then, you know, that's going to hurt more than, you know, Celtic beating us more often than not. So certainly things are good. There's a good look about the team at the moment. We have a goal threat, has returned at a good time for us. Took a while for any of the strikers to sort of find the net, but that's happened on a kind of fairly consistent basis. Not on Sunday, obviously, but you know, beforehand, you're talking some of them Aberdeen beyond. Then we've managed to get forward players finding the net, and that kind of takes the pressure off if you're only scoring penalties and set pieces and stuff like that. So the fact that we've got that attacking threat again, I like the fact that we're again Sunday apart. We're kind of limiting opportunities for, you know, for opposition teams against us, so it does bode well. But I wouldn't want to be too presumptuous about where we're going to be, how the table's going to look. There's a clutch of teams in there, a couple of bad results, a dodgy red card somewhere along the line, and it can quite quickly turn. So just focus on St Johnstone and take it from there for me.
The MFC podcast is proudly brought to you by Manscaped, the number one in men's below-the-waist grooming, offering precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. You can get 20% off and free shipping with the code MONDOWELL at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com using the code MONDOWELL.
Nice wee link coming up here. And one player that can look forward to an extended future at Fir Park is Tony Watt. Scott, we've talked about Tony at quite great length over the last couple of podcasts and talked up his performances in a Motherwell jersey, certainly enjoying his best run of form since he joined back in February. It has been documented that it tends to have a spell and it looks promising and perhaps fades away somewhat. He's certainly having that spell just now and he's talking up how happy he is to be at the club. I think that we've got to kind of overlook the fact that, yes, there has been times where he's had a purple patch and then maybe struggled to replicate that for him throughout the rest of his time at a club, and he's had plenty of them. But he's really contributing on and off the park just now. The contract was something that we had to tie up and ensure that one of our star performers remains at the football club. Do you see this as a good
bit? I do. I wasn't overly excited when Tony Watt signed, probably because of the stereotype that follows him, his attitude and stuff. And I think we've spoken about this before. I think the comparison that I'll make is Chris Long. Chris Long, for me, he's not much of a personality, he's not much of a character. Off the pitch, obviously he's not from this area. Tony Watt's local, in Lanarkshire. But I think Tony's influence on and off the pitch his influence off the pitch certainly, I think, has helped the team. But he's matched that up with his performances. Whereas Chris Long, when he scores, it's almost as if he's, oh, well, it's just another goal for me to add on it my tally, you know. But I think the fans have really taken to Tony Watt, and I think a lot of the fans are quite surprised at how much they've, and I include myself in that. I talk about a wee boy often in this podcast, and that's him. He's like, I want Tony Watt in the back of my shirt. So he must be doing something right. And I was delighted when I read that he'd signed a new contract. And what I really liked about it was that he seems delighted to have signed the contract. He seems to want to be here. He's not signed the contract because he's looking for a move. He's signed that contract because he's realised that he's in a place where he can be the star man. A club like Motherwell, maybe a team at Hearts, there's a wee bit more expected of him. St Johnstone's just a boring team where there's nothing much happening, so I can understand why he lost his interest there. But being away in Belgium and stuff, it must be quite difficult when you're over there yourself. And I think he's maybe just found that this is a perfect fit for him. When he was at Celtic, there's that pressure. We always, every time you mention Tony Watt, we mention the goal against Barcelona. And he said, I listened to him last night on Super Scoreboard, and it was at that point I really thought, do you know what, he actually really does want to be here. And for that alone, then I just hope that he continues. He's undroppable at the moment. It's his position for him to lose now. And obviously the management and the staff must see something in him to offer him the deal. So hopefully, as you say, that this isn't a wee purple patch. I think his head's in the right place. Although what I was interested to say last night, what he said last night was that there is this question mark over his attitude that he thought he'd made it, and he's always getting this comparison against the Barcelona goal and stuff. But he says, if you go and ask the majority of his teammates and his coaches that he's had in his past, there's never really been a question mark over his attitude. And it's maybe just now that he's matured and we're getting him at the best point in his career. And it's, I don't think it's a gamble. I think it was a given that he had to be given that contract. So I was delighted when the news broke it in Monday.
And Scott mentioned the fact that in the comparisons with Chris Long, I think that's actually quite an interesting point as much as anything else. Chris Long, a player that perhaps there wasn't the same fanfare when he rejoined the club, but he was a very prominent member of the side that finished third last season, contributed with quite a few goals. Yes, he's not the kind of legend off the park. He's looked a bit kind of, I don't know, I want to say a kind of forlorn figure to me. His enthusiasm and his desire is there quite as much. And that might just lend to the fact that, as I say, he doesn't seem as big a personality and as big a character. Found himself as the fourth striker, the one that is introduced from the bench. You've still got Jordan White there as well, chapping in the door. So for any striker starting a game, they'll know that there's two strikers determined to take the place just now. So Tony Watt will realise that he has to perform in a Motherwell jersey. It isn't a given that he's going to start every game. Yes, he's made himself, as Scott alluded to, undroppable, but there's two hungry strikers there. Jake Hastie could also come into the fold if his attitude and his desire's there. We're kind of speculating on players' demeanours, but in terms of options, it can't be denied that there is real competition for places in these front play.
That's it. Again, we're going to need the squad there as we come into the period of games that we have. And even before the arrival of Devante Cole, there was a bit of rotation in there between Cole and Callum Lang. Long and Lang before Devante Cole arrived. So there has been a case where he's, or examples where they're going to use different players for different games depending upon their fitness, depending upon what Robinson thinks is the best combination. So he is going to play a part. Christopher Long, I'm sure of that. There's going to be injuries and suspensions along the way as well. It certainly bodes well. I mean, there has been kind of discussions right from the start of the season. Did we have enough strikers? Did we have too many strikers? It seemed to be varying kind of viewpoints there. Even when the arrival of a Cole was kind of made known, we were thinking, is this a signing we actually need? Have we, you know, we get too many forwards here? But, you know, I suppose it's all about balance as well and getting the right combinations. So we've got that with the trio there. There are, within those players, there are obviously players that are going to do different tasks, different roles better than they are other things. And for me personally, it's a bit of a waste if you're not going to play Christopher Long centrally. I don't think he offers as much out wide, and I would be inclined to even give the aforementioned Hastie another shot, you know, before I would play, you know, Christopher Long out wide again. Other players are able to kind of do that better. They're maybe able to interlink better, and that's why we've got the kind of current combination as we have at the moment. There's a bit more fluidity to them, whereas Long perhaps has got a more kind of defined role or attributes that he's best at. But I think they'll all be used over the course, and you know it's significant as well that Robinson has made a point of bringing them on and giving them game time, even if it is limited, because they are going to be needed. So you know it's kind of sensible in that respect that you're keeping them involved, you're keeping them fit, and giving them slight opportunities, even if it's for 10, 15 minutes or whatever the case may be.
Looking ahead to our next Premiership match, that comes a week on Saturday against St Johnstone. Of course, before that, three games for Scotland, included in them a chance to reach a major finals for the first time since the World Cup back in Scotland. A massive week for Scottish football, a massive week for the national side, who come under so much criticism, and a lot of it has been merited for years of underachieving. One game away against a very talented and a squad full of Serbia. But we've got a chance, a one-off game over 90 minutes. There won't be that hostile crowd inside the stadium either in Belgrade. It's one to look forward to, and I guess we've got to take a sense of pride as well that there's very likely to be two Motherwell players in that Scotland starting 11 at quarter to eight on fucking hell, Andy. and I guess we've got to take a lot of pride as well that come quarter to Thursday evening, there's very likely to be two Motherwell players in that starting 11 for Scotland.
It's just ironic, isn't it, that the big game that there'll be no fans here, but I've followed Scotland all over mainly Europe, and I would have loved to have had the opportunity to go to this game, but in saying that, I think this might actually go to our advantage, that because Eastern European crowds are renowned for their kind of passion and they're welcome to the stadium and stuff, but it is I've kind of lost a wee bit of interest over the national game, but start slowly with the Motherwell players getting involved, I'm starting to get that passion back, and I'm certainly looking forward to it on Thursday night. I think that it really. Just from a Motherwell point of view for the Scotland thing, I think Declan Gallagher was having a wee bit of a tough time in the build-up to the last international break, and I think his performances and just getting a wee break away for at the time Motherwell weren't doing great, and I think he's come back for that, and I really think he's benefited from, I'm not saying being away for training with the same voices and the same players and stuff, but I think he's just had a wee confidence boost, and I really think that hopefully we can gain for that again moving forward. But it is great watching the games, and there's two Motherwell players that kept clean sheets, two defenders. It's that will not happen very often, and we're as well enjoying it whilst we can.
I think it's fair to say, Andy, both guys very much there in merit. That'll be a sixth cap for Declan. They start on Thursday night, taking him very close to it could be an eight by the end of these international fixtures. Very likely to break a record in terms of caps accumulated while at Motherwell for Scotland. Phenomenal in his now 18 months or so at Firth Park. A player that came with perhaps a bit of baggage and a few misconceptions. We talk about misconceptions around Tony Watt. Declan Gallagher gets subjected to some of that as well, but he's more than proven himself during that first season at the club. I think unanimously we all accepted him as captain. And yes, despite that difficult start to this season, he's really began to rediscover that form. I think aided by that triple header for Scotland where the team kept three clean sheets. He played in every minute of these three games. And he's kind of got that brave heart spirit about him, doesn't he? He's just a warrior at centre half. And I just feel like it's just such rich reward for his performances in a Motherwell jersey.
Yeah, he's certainly taken the opportunity very well when it's come about for Scotland. Tentative kind of start under Steve Clarke, which is kind of grown into the kind of style almost akin to something like Craig Brown had set up, where you don't concede particularly too many goals. Maybe not that prolific at the other side of the park, but you're generally well set up, and I think the run is at 7 or 8 games undefeated now. Don't get me wrong, there's not too many games against the kind of Italy's or England's or Germany's or what have you in that run, but you know, you beat what's there in front of you, or you face what's there in front of you, and we've certainly done pretty well in terms of that. It's building a bit of momentum, and as kind of Pepe was alluding to, their confidence. You know, it's exactly that. If you can go there, and to a lesser extent Stephen O'Donnell as well, if they can go there with guys that's playing for Liverpool, playing for Arsenal, playing for Man United, and look accomplished in amongst them, hold their own in there, then they should be feeling confident and good about themselves, and you know, bring that kind of vibe back to the club. And it may well be that, you know, his force of personality and just that wee boost that he's had by getting away and playing those games and the profile that it's came with the performances, the clean sheets and what have you during those last three games, that has just a wee step up, you know, in morale and, you know, the kind of ability, not so much ability, but performance-wise. So we can only hope that the two Motherwell players are involved in there, and you know, finally Scotland do qualify for the kind of championships that we've been waiting 20 years or whatever the case may be for us to re-emerge in the finals again.
I've just got a button there. Let's not forget that Declan Gallagher was the boo boy almost in the Europa League campaign, where he was subjected to all sorts of kind of insults, and he should never be the captain. Give the captain to Alan Campbell. And I mean, I don't care what anybody says, that must have affected him. I think somebody from his family came on and said that the abuse that he was getting was ridiculous. And for him to have put that behind him and get back on the forum, that can only be commended and show the kind of a resilience of his character.
Yeah, absolutely. And I didn't really see much of this kind of social media stuff falling in terms of family members getting involved, but escalate quite quickly when scenarios like that do occur. Another trip to McDermott Park a week on Saturday, Scott, you must be absolutely buzzing. Another meeting against St Johnston. The last one was a 5-star classic, wasn't it, against the Whitford Park, where we scored an early goal, a fantastic goal from Alan Campbell, and then basically nothing happened for the next 86 minutes or so. So more of the same if we get the same result, mind you.
I certainly, I mean, it was a game that kind of we needed to win. I think it was obviously it was really early on in the season, but we just didn't seem to get the rub of the green at all. But I think McDermott Park for a while was a kind of a place that we went that we never really seemed to get the results. There always seemed crazy things happened. Was it we get the three players, Carson, Dunn and Carol McHugh, get sent off? And we've always seemed to have had difficult times when we've been up there, although recently we've had a couple of wins. I'd be fully expecting this to go, and it's obviously we've had that wee break, go and get back to where we were. They've been kind of up and down, and I would really hope that we go out and get put in another good, as you said earlier on, that the Livingston performance is your kind of baseline that you're looking to recreate. Although I'm looking forward to the Scotland game on Thursday, I'm counting down the days till we get back into the kind of the realistic games that we could win in the league, and I think that we'll get up to to Pearson, I think we'll get another good victory. For a change, I'll be really confident. I just think, as we've already covered, I'm just the forward line and the options that we've got. You'd said this as well, that we're playing teams around about the same kind of a positions in the league, and I just think we've got that wee bit extra where we can change the front three. We've got the different options, and that's why I'm kind of confident going into every game.
Certainly nothing to fear here, Andy. I'm watching St Johnston play this, we record this, and they're certainly not that easy in the eye, but Callum Davidson's come in a difficult mantle to take over, given that Tommy Wright had enjoyed years of sustained success with Saints. They had made themselves a very tough nut to crack during that time. They'd achieved multiple top six finishes, some European finishes, won the Scottish Cup. So there's plenty of positives around that football club. And Callum Davis has come in, and I think he's kind of steadied the ship after what was undoubtedly Tommy Wright's most difficult season in charge at the club. Again, they look like they'll be there or thereabouts when it comes to the race for the top six. Last year, they snuck in after the fixtures were suspended on a points per game basis, and overtook Hibs to take that sixth spot. It's such a cliche to say, but it's always a difficult place to go, and they're always a difficult. It's never going to be a glamorous occasion or a particularly brilliant game of football. I can remember during period of Higdon, Ayama, and the likes, we used to quite often go up against them and score three or four goals and really put in some brilliant performances. Now you're just expecting a 1-0 either way, and more often.
We've had some, as you say, we've had some good results up there. Come back last season, was Devante Cole was, I think, one of his goals was up there. After he missed an absolute sitter, granted, but also we have had some results up there, and as you say, it's not a place that you go, you're petrified of playing them. I think they have turned a corner, and I think it's going to take them a wee bit to evolve as a team. We had ourselves to a certain extent. You guys in the squad who seem to have been there for, you know, for an eternity. Well, I've had a couple of stints here. You know, Murray Davison's one. You know, is it Liam Craig? Another one. He's had a couple of stints with them. Even the likes of Wotherspoon's, like 6 or 7 years with them now. You know, Stevie Mays had two goes with them as well. So there are a lot of kind of players that are synonymous with that team over an extended period. And we had similar with the likes of Hamill, Lashley, Craig, and these kind of guys, and when you've got a new manager in there, you want to bring your own style, and you want to kind of evolve from what's been there before. But I think he's done it sensibly. You don't want to do things too quick, a la Harry Campman, where you kind of chuck the baby out with the bathwater almost. So there's going to be time for them to kind of build whatever, you know, style that they want to play. There's an emergency two or three youngsters, a couple of new players in there that they've brought in. So they may be a couple of months further down that process than when we faced them at Fir Park, where they were in a wee bit of a sticky spell there. So I would tend to kind of discount what happened that afternoon. Again, we're different ourselves from where we were at that point in the season as well. So it'll be a different game. You go there hopeful, as you do, or I do anyway, when you go to any kind of away game. If you can come back with at least a point, then it's not the worst afternoon's work. And while it's a couple of weeks away yet, I don't see anything that will change my kind of view as we kind of lead towards that fixture whenever it, you know, approaches for us. So hoping for maximum points, clearly, but if we were able to go up there, get a 0-0 draw even to keep this kind of defensive run going, great. If we were able to get a couple of goals from our forward to keep that going and come out with it with a point, good as well. But obviously we're looking for the 3 points at the end of it, if at all possible.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that the last game in November and then those six league fixtures with two unknown ones as well, with the the St Mirren and Kilmarnock games still to be rescheduled. I don't know whether we could fit them in December. It's certainly going to be pivotal in where a season transcends from here, whether it be a push for the top six and perhaps even in challenging for these European places, or perhaps maybe a more tedious kind of end to the season. I'm still pretty certain that we won't find ourselves between 10th and 12th, but I think at this moment in time we could find ourselves anywhere between 9th and 5th, to be honest, with the outside possibility of a wee push. Should we be able to pull 4 or 5 victories in the spin together, which at this moment in time looks pretty unlikely, given that there's very few teams with outside Rangers and Celtic who seem capable of doing that. Guys, I think that's pretty much all we've got for tonight. Thank you very much for your company.
Thanks again.
No problem, as always.
You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back following that St Johnstone game. Until then, thank you and goodbye.
You want me to forget you? Okay, forget me too. You tell me you hate me, baby. Yeah, I bet you do. Damn.